You've waited all week, and now the wait is over. It's the only unfiltered media podcast in America. This is Trash Talk on WEEI.com. Here he is, your boy, Blind Mike.
My guest today is the star of the number one morning show in Boston. That is, if you include the Providence ratings, of course.
Right.
It's Kirk Minahan. What's going on, Kirk?
What's up, Mike? What's going on?
How are you? I appreciate you doing this.
No, I couldn't wait. I was very excited.
I imagine.
Doing a show and then schlepping in my studio.
I imagine.
My podcast studio and doing a podcast with you.
Yeah. I've noticed, they really classed it up for you. They've got the 850 logos still in here.
Yeah, no, of course.
So really, they spare no expense.
Welcome to fucking Intercom. Yes, that's how we do it here.
Headphones aren't working.
No.
I appreciate you. I said this to you last time I had you on my old podcast.
I remember, right? I forgot that. Yeah.
I appreciate a guy like you doing this because some people... have no respect for that little guy, including a little guy himself, your pal Mutt.
He's not doing it?
I've asked him, so I asked him before the first time you came on.
Yeah.
And he told me something about getting back to him at the All-Star break because he was busy with baseball stuff. It seemed like a lot of bullshit to me.
About this podcast?
This was my old podcast.
Have you asked him to go on this one yet?
So then I saw him at that T-Mobile event that he did.
Okay.
Granted, when there's thousands of fans rushing him, it's tough to... get a minute in.
How bad was it? Was it empty or?
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's not good.
I think like three or four people came and said, hey, Mutt, what's going on? So he didn't quite turn me down, but I said, I've kind of wanted to start having guests, and it's been a little tough.
Okay.
And I'm ramping up to ask him,
right.
And he goes, you should have Chris Curtis book the show for you. I was like, that's a bizarre, I'm not going to go to the guy on the number one morning show.
Yeah, he's got stuff to do.
Book my show for me.
Right, yes.
Mutt kind of skirted around.
So I'm saying yes before Mutt saying yes?
Yes, absolutely.
Why would you even want that Mutt on?
I mean, that's a good question.
I mean,
it's
honestly,
just like,
he's like, we I know
to ask him about you, basically. I didn't think you'd do it.
Right.
So basically,
why
to ask
not?
Him about
We've
you.
We've done the show before. Like, yeah, I'm here.
I have very low self-confidence.
Ask
Kirk,
me anything you want. I am here to help out the, what's the name of the podcast?
Trash Talk.
Trash Talk.
Yeah.
I get it.
Thank you. Yeah, double entendre.
Right, I get it.
So what I want to start with asking you is, you told me last time I had you on, a couple years ago, that while the Dennis and Callahan show was still going on.
Oh, is that right? Was it that long
yes,
ago?
Yes, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And you told me, even during that time, I think it was kind of towards the end.
Yeah.
I think maybe John made it, obviously he was leaving or something.
Yeah.
But you told me that you would talk to Mark the Beetle Bertrand about doing a show together.
Like that's
leaving.
True. So that, no.
That is true.
Well, that's true. Sorry. So Bertrand and I met at the old Papagino's, which is down the street down here. It's gone now. Like 3 years ago, I was looking to leave the morning show because I didn't want to do the show the way it was anymore. John was still there. Jerry was there. It was a different kind of show. I had sort of been burnt out. I wanted to try a different show. The afternoon show at that point was sort of up in the air. They hadn't yet named Dale and Holly full-time. They were rotating. And management said to me, if you want to, we don't want you to. We want you to stay in the morning. But if you really feel like you can't do it, we're willing to talk about doing afternoons. You can talk to some people, maybe a potential partner. One of the guys was Bertrand, who I kind of knew, didn't really know. We had lunch together, and we talked, and I like Bertrand and everything, but it really, we are two different personalities. I don't think it really would have worked. I'm not sure his sphere goes outside of sports as much as I like. The other one was Ordway, who's there right now doing his show. We had dinner one night in Burlington. Me, Ordway, Kevin Graham, the old program director, Phil Zachary, the old general manager at the station. And that was really it. And by the time I was sort of done with that process, I kind of had an idea of where the morning show was going to go in the year or two going forward. I got some assurances, and then I felt okay about it. The other guy was Mutt, but they kind of they wanted me to stay in the mornings. I think the most important part of the day for a radio station is the mornings, where the most revenue is generally. It kind of sets the tone for the day. It's the most important show at the station. And I think they wanted to keep me there and John and Jerry, and they tried to balance that as long as they could. And then once they couldn't, they said, okay, this is the way we want to do it going forward. But yeah, Bertrand and I had lunch at Papagino's, I'm going to say 3 years, 3 years ago. I'd say probably 3 years ago, maybe even more. Gresh must have still been.
Yeah,
the
I think Beetle was still on Felger and Mazza.
Had to have been.
So basically, I kind of got this from your tone now, but the question I wanted to ask was, obviously, did you know then that that wouldn't have worked? Or because I've heard you talk about Zarbano wanting Bertrand in the morning show.
Well, yeah. So
you knew that at the time
I don't even know that it wouldn't have worked. For all I know, Bertrand is ready to go and fight me about everything and we'd have a great time and he'd go on the ride. What I know now is that I am inflexible in how I want to do a show.
Right.
Now, the ratings might not always be great. People may not like it. People may want me to do more stuff. I'm going to do the stuff I want to do. I don't know if Mark would have been long willing to go for the ride. I know Jerry is obviously more flexible, willing, and good at it. But you mentioned Bertrand. Yeah, so with Mark, you know, I don't know that. I can't really answer that. But I think Bertrand also wanted to stay there. He liked it there. He had a good thing going with Mike and Tony. And I think he knew there was a chance that something was going to open up and take that. And it's worked out for him.
You mentioned doing the show the way you want. Are you able to do that here now?
I think much better than, say, two or 3 months ago. You know, we're battling a lot of stuff. We definitely have people trying to bring us down all the time. And that's okay. Like, I'm, you know, I tell the story is that, you know, the thing with Fourier happened, and then we had that sensitivity training, and we wound up going to spring training at Fort Myers. Jerry's voice was shot. I was in a shitty mood. We did the first segment, went to the break at 6:30 or whatever it was, and I turned to him and I said, I think we're fucking done. I don't know how we're going to do this going forward. And we got more and more comfortable, and about, I'd say, a month or so ago, I finally said, I'm sick of even pretending to appease people who fucking hate us. They hate us. They're going to try and bring us down. So go for it. Knock yourselves out. Dude, call as many people as you want. Call advertisers. Badger people. Try and make them guilt them, shame them in doing shit. But I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to, even to an extent that I was, which wasn't much, I'm not going to try and placate people. There's no fucking, you are never going to make those people happy. Never. It's never going to happen.
Yeah. The big threat, for lack of a better term, that you make is a lot of times when management puts restrictions on you, you bring a bar stool.
Yeah.
How... First of all, it seems like Portnoy likes you. That must be nice. I can't imagine what that's like.
No kidding.
How often have you actually talked to him? Because you make reference to it a lot, but I don't know how much of it is.
Not much.
A joke.
We text back and forth a little bit, and we talked on the phone a couple of times. We get along really well. Obviously, I have a lot of respect for him. I think he does for me, for my talent also. I think we have pretty good chemistry together when we're on the air and whatever. And he has always said, when you get fired, you can have a job at Bristol, which is going to happen. When I get fired, whether it's next year or next week or 4 years from now, it's a nice option to have. But, you know, Dave probably about as well as I do, porn as well as I do. He's not a guy who's going to let you in a lot.
Sure.
You know, but I mean, it's, you know, I've not listened to as much Barstool Radio as I probably should have at this point. I've listened to some. I saw they removed What's-Her-Face from the mornings. Julie Stewart Binks, is that right?
Yeah.
They got rid of her. I think that was a disaster, right?
Right.
It wasn't really working. And I think they're learning, like, oh, wait a minute, this isn't as easy as we thought it was.
They were trying different things where it's like, I think that show was their version of trying to, like, let's branch out from the usual Barstool brand.
Nobody wants to hear that.
It didn't work.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, listen, the Barstool people don't want to hear that. So they tried it, didn't work. But, you know, look, obviously, you know, it's a fucking runaway train.
Right.
You know, I can't explain really the appeal of it. I know they do a lot of good stuff, but the loyalty is unbelievable.
It's crazy, yeah.
It's unprecedented.
The fact that I haven't been there in a year and a half and I'm still like recognized by people.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, I did nothing there really,
right,
other than make a few dumb videos, you know.
Right, right.
So it is pretty crazy. But how well do you think, everyone says, I've heard a lot, Minahan would fit great at Barstool. I don't know if that's true.
Oh yeah.
How well do you think you would fit in there?
Let me hear why you don't think that's true.
I think you don't subscribe to as much as the frat boy culture. I think a lot of the stuff that they do, you would find kind of stupid.
Like what?
You know, Saturdays are for the boys.
Yeah, that's not my thing.
College football stuff and all that.
Not my thing. But you know, I think Barstool could use somebody who, within the Barstool world, who mocks the Barstool world.
Yeah.
They could use a little inside self-deprecation at this point. Because
that's true.
It's becoming sort of a corporatized situation. Somebody who says, almost an ombudsman in the building, that's like, this isn't fucking funny. Like
right.
A spelling bee? Like, it's not that funny. Like, you know, or like Saturdays for the boys? Like, really?
With that is, I think Portnoy doesn't have a great capacity to make fun of himself. He does.
Better than you think. I found we go at it. He's pretty good about it.
By certain people. Like, he'll let Big Cat make fun of him, KFC, you, guys he respects.
Right.
But I think if they just hired an outsider to be the ombudsman, like you said.
Well, I think it's
going to
be somebody, right, who has some. And I would say I have a loose connection with that world. Yeah. But I think, you know. Also, Barstool does a tremendous amount of sports talk.
Sure.
Like, within the, that you know.
National. It would have to be college football.
Which I would just say to Portnoy, like, just so you know, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
This will be more of a sort of a, you know, a topic-based show, story of the day stuff, gossip stuff, radio drama stuff. And, you know, it's kind of what we do now with some sports mixed in.
Do you think there would this ever be an option if you left DEI for whatever reason, that you and Jerry or whoever you were with did something like what Glenn did when he left? Because people mock Ordway for what he tried.
He tried.
I think that was a great idea, maybe a few years ahead of its time, and I think Ordway might not have been the guy to do it.
Well, here's the thing.
But I think you could be.
Right. Here's the problem with what Glenn tried to do, is he tried to do the same. You call it Big Show Unfiltered.
He tried to get back on radio,
right? But
it wasn't. They would bleep swears.
Right. It was a radio show, yeah. Which it wasn't like they talked about stuff that you could hear on the radio,
right?
So a few weeks ago, when I thought there's a chance I might be out of a job, as there always happens every few months or so, I just tweeted out randomly, you know, would you be willing to pay? I just picked a random price. I think it was $4.99.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, I remember you saying
that. I got a lot of, like 1,000 responses, a lot of reaction for me. And it was about 35% yes and 65% no, which I would have taken 25% yes.
Sure.
You know, do I think, I don't know what the price is. Do I think there's a spot for somebody who is free of anything? They can criticize any institution they want. They can do anything they want. Free of it, don't have to worry about any restrictions at all. No advertisers. Would you pay $3.99 a month if it's somebody you think you really like and would listen to every day for, say, 3 hours? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. And if you get 1,000 people to do that, or 2,000 people to do that, or if you can get up to 5,000 people to do that. I mean, I don't know. A Boston Sports Journal, which I think is boring, has like 8,000 subscribers.
I didn't know that,
right.
Which is why I didn't know the number. If that's got 8,000, I would imagine you would trounce that.
Well, I don't even know, but if you're on your own.
I'm just basing on the passion of your guys' fans.
Right, if you're own and you're doing $4 a month and it's $5,000, well, figure it out. By the time you're done with everything, you're still making a pretty nice living and you get to do what you want to do. Or, by the way, it's a total failure and everybody says, well, wait a minute, I pay for Hulu, I pay for Sirius, I pay for Netflix, I pay
why
for
am I gonna
HBO,
pay for this,
I pay for fucking, I can get Glenn Ordway and Jerry Callahan for free, not as good, maybe even, say, a diehard fan of mine, but still pretty good. Why the fuck am I going to do that?
Right.
So I don't know. It's an interesting model. I think you're right that Glenn wasn't the right guy to do it.
Because he didn't want to. It seemed like he didn't want to do that unfiltered.
But his style
where you
is
say
not,
whatever you want.
His style is not unfiltered.
Sure.
It's a myth.
Right,
like,
right.
I don't mean that in a bad way. He's a traditional, one of the best ever traditional sports broadcaster.
Right.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you this, because the big thing in the news last week was Roseanne and Samantha Bee.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever feel hypocritical at all when you kind of, I mean, you kind of have to go after them for that type of stuff? Cause,
well, I don't want them to be fired. I never said Roseanne should be fired.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
But,
no, I think
okay, right.
Right.
Because
I don't think anybody
should
be fired, Mike. I think somebody should be fired if they suck at their job.
Yeah.
You know, like, I had no problem with what happened to Borges. I didn't call for him to be fired, but he sucked at his job and he got called out on it. He got fooled and he got swindled, so he's gone. But do I think Roseanne should be fired? No. Do I live in reality where no advertiser is going to touch her again?
Right.
Fair or unfair, nobody's going to touch
her. I don't know if this stuff dies pretty quickly. Yeah. Like with you, people might have said that about you, or Callahan, the thing with Callahan 15 years ago, people might have said that.
Sure, but that wasn't the social media era.
Right.
And there wasn't this long history. You can't trust Roseanne anymore. So let's say after 6 months, whoever comes back, fucking Coca-Cola comes back with Roseanne. And then Roseanne tweets something else again.
Something else done.
She's crazy. That's the thing. But we live in a world now where it's like, this is how it works. And you know this, I'm sure. So let's get Roseanne fired today. Okay, that's not fair. We have to get a liberal fired. Let's get Samantha Bee fired.
Right.
Well, wait, that's not fair. She wasn't as bad. So let's get another conservative fired. Let's find Rush Limbaugh. Let's find Howard Stern. Let's find Kirk Minahan. Let's find some guy in Chicago. Let's find somebody on TV. Let's find some actor. Everyone's thirsty to get everybody fired. And like I say, if you get everybody fired, there's an interesting thought in their head. If they do it, the only person left on radio and television will be Mike Greenberg.
Right.
That's it. And then we're fucked. And then we're like, and then you're really making no money because nobody's watching it.
Right.
Like, there's this thirst now. And I get it to some extent. Where you want action to happen. So somebody in their house now has the power with their phone to say, here are the 8 people who are the main advertisers for, say, Samantha Bee at whatever. You know, pick the 8 sponsors. Bludgeon them to death. Great. You win. She's fired. Then what? What have you really done? Like, what have you done? What has changed in your life that you've gotten this person fired? What? I don't get this rush to do it.
Do you think there should be, I think Alec Baldwin said this about Roseanne, someone said it about Roseanne, it might have been Baldwin, that there should have been, you know, let Roseanne go on whatever news show, have a debate, let him do an episode about it,
but Mike, she's
whatever
clear,
it be. Do you think that would work or not?
No, that's pie in the sky. It was Baldwin. It's pie in the sky because you're dealing with somebody who's insane.
Right.
Roseanne thinks the marathon bombing didn't happen.
Right.
She thinks actors, like the Richard family, were portrayed by actors.
But she also, the thing... If take that out of it, take the conspiracy.
Yeah, but you can't because she's crazy.
I understand that, but the conspiracy stuff, different thing, because they gave her a show while she was a conspiracy.
Yeah, but that wasn't a big story at the time because she didn't have a show at the time.
But my point is the thing where they're taking this joke, and it was a joke, whether you found it funny or not, it wasn't funny. It was an idiotic thing to tweet because you have to know that's going to get in trouble. But it was a joke.
Do you think it was a joke because she's a comedian for a job? Like if it was somebody who was an insurance salesman, they tweeted that, would you say that's a joke?
I would say they were trying for a joke, and I would say it was dumb if you're an insurance salesman to tweet. But she is a comedian, so there's a different expectation.
I guess.
But There's also, she was making a joke. There's no debate about that, really.
Well,
you can debate
well, whatever
it's,
she was attempting.
It's merits.
Right. Well, I think there was some, but I do think there's some anger.
But there's also a thing with Roseanne where, in the storyline of this show, like her son has a black kid,
a transgender child,
and all that stuff,
right.
Where she is progressive in a lot of ways.
No question.
Maybe those where we immediately go racist. Maybe she's not that. She might be a crazy conspiracy theorist nutjob.
She may not be.
But if we give her a chance to kind of explain that before canceling her show and calling her a racist,
sure.
Because people might have done the same thing to Jerry and you.
Absolutely.
And,
but I think that's right. But I think that's just ultimately pie in the sky. Like, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think that's be wonderful. That's how. But that's just not how it works. I think advertisers say, you know what? What happens 9 months from now when she tweets about this, that, or this and that? And then what? Then how do we explain it?
Do you think the internet will change that at all, where eventually people will be able to just create content themselves?
I don't know. All I know is the internet's changed everything. I mean, the internet is the only reason why Roseanne's out of a job or why Samantha Bee got into some trouble. Like that, she did on the internet, and all the reaction was on the internet. I mean, you saw it with the Parkland shootings. It's absolutely... It's great in a way because it's great for us. It means people are invested and interested in all that. You can't be upset with it when it's a big part of your job. But it is nuts. I mean, we've dealt with it. We've had, obviously, people harass us. We've had people go after our advertisers. And they bludgeon them to the point where local advertisers who know us a lot and like us, you know, the great people like Milton's and Cumberland Farms and Kaplansky Insurance and Revise Energy and whoever, Buffalo Wild Wings, they're all great. And they say, we listen to the show every day. We know these guys are good guys. We know this isn't true. But if it's a national advertiser, right, just pick a random national advertiser. We'll say Coca-Cola again, just an example. If somebody bludgeons them day after day and says they're racist, they're homophobic, they're xenophobic, they're going to look at it and say, well, we don't know these guys. All right, let's move on to somebody else. That's the way the world works now. It's a scary, scary time.
Do you think, has Trump been good for you guys? Do people get sick of it?
Awesome.
Or has it made no difference?
Great. I think if you listen to the show every day, you've seen we've gone away from Trump while it's getting quieter than, but today, obviously, is a great Trump day. I mean, if Hillary Clinton were president, this story wouldn't be here today. The Eagles would be at the White House. It's a great story. When Trump goes nuts on Twitter, it's great.
Right.
It's entertaining. Do I think it's made the country an angrier place like I've seen some suggest? No, absolutely not. 3 years ago, people were batshit crazy on social media. They are now as well. Now, people who hate Trump have funneled their Trump hatred and tried to move into other places. Of that, there's no doubt. But I don't think Trump on his own has made the country any angrier. I don't.
Are you surprised that, especially given the, you know, not just the success of your show, but the climate in general, are you surprised when 98.5 takes shots like, we don't talk politics and infighting and that type of stuff?
It's weird.
Does it surprise you, or does it, is
it's
it,
weird.
It's not
I
a
mean,
tactic, right?
Well, it shows that they, like, in the past they would ignore us, and now they don't. I mean, clearly they've made that decision not to. I mean, they're super successful also. All their shows do great. All our shows do great. But yeah, it's a weird, I don't know anybody in my life, I really don't, who only talk about like the game last night or the third line or the bullpen. I just don't know anybody in my life who finds that to be stimulating all the time. They choose to. I mean, Felger and Maz do only that. They do very well. you know, but I think Touch and Rich don't. I know Touch and Rich try and act like they're
weird to me, and I've talked about this on the
show
a lot.
They're not a sports show either, though.
They were. If any show is supposed to be the guys that don't talk sports, you'd think it would be them because
they
came
from
a rock.
That's what they were for a while, and now they have a lot of guests on.
Pete Abraham, which must be mind-numbingly boring.
I can't even imagine, but they've decided to go that way. Jeff Howe, they have a lot of guests on, and maybe that's working for them. I don't know. All I know is, and people get mad here when I say this, is our show is not a sports show.
Right.
It's an issue show. It's a guy show. When the sports is the biggest topic like today, Trump in the Eagles is a sports topic. Brady and the Shaughnessy columns, a sports topic. So we did that 90% of the show today. Tomorrow, we'll see. I mean, we'll see what else is going on.
If you could do a show with anyone other than Callahan, who would it be?
You know, I don't know. You know,
either station, obviously.
You're right.
Or outside, not on the station at all. Maybe a young blind man, perhaps.
Maybe. Yeah. I would probably say Jim Murray right now, who I like a lot.
I'm glad you said that, because I would have said the best third guy in on your show would be Jim Murray.
Yeah,
outside of
I'd probably even rather than Jerry, to be honest with you. Getting the fucking old guy out of there. I would probably say Jim, who I've never worked with. We communicate a little bit. We text, you know, sort of book recommendations and documentaries and stuff back and forth. He seems like a great guy, and I think he's a really talented guy, and I feel like he's underutilized on that show.
I agree, yeah.
And I'll say this. I haven't really thought of it and haven't articulated it. When I watched that show, because I listen to everything, I listen to both shows on both stations and all that stuff, I sense some frustration from him now when I watch it. He seems like he feels like he's being underutilized, and that's And I've been there. That's life when you're in the marriage. I mean, in a successful one. You can only go so far. And I think he must be thinking, well, wait a minute. You know, he sees Maserati, he sees Felger, and he says, those guys are doing great. They're not going to give me any more swings than I'm getting right now. And I'm sure they treat him great. But he's thinking, boy, I wonder if I could do more. And yeah, I mean, I would say Mutt. Mutt and Jim Murray, I would say, were the two guys that I would want to probably most do show with.
What do you think of Maserati? Because I talk about him a lot. Is he a complete character? I don't understand.
I don't know. I feel like he sold his soul now to play some
I've said that before,
screaming.
Yeah.
And they call, and Chad Finn wrote that story and then said on Twitter that we're 97% fake. And I hear Maserati getting mad about the fucking Red Sox schedule. And I'm like, no human being is mad about who the Red Sox play in fucking April.
Well, the hockey thing is always hilarious to me, too, because I've heard Ordway say that he hated hockey.
Right, right.
And now he's fucking Mr. Hockey over there.
Yeah, so I think there's definitely some of that. But I mean, I think his attitude is fuck it. I'm getting paid a lot of money and it's working. I mean, I don't blame him. I couldn't do it every day like that, but he manages to and has had some success. But yeah, I don't think it's real.
So you wouldn't be able to if ESPN said
No, I talked to ESPN a couple of years ago.
Blank check?
No, I know. No, I'm good. I mean, you know, $5 million, I'd do it. But a couple of years ago, I went out there, obviously, before they brought Max Kellerman on. And did a tryout one day, and I thought, this is not, I mean, if they offer me a job and $2 million a year, I'll take it. But this would not be a happy life. I love what I do. I'm frustrated when people get in the way, when management gets in the way. I respect and understand, I understand why management has to do it sometimes. And we've had a tough since September with these activists going after us. It's been tough every day, but I do not want to do any other show than this show with Jerry every day. Today I thought was a great show. Yesterday was a great show. When you're on a little bit of a mini roll, you've had some good shows, you feel great. When you have a shitty show, you feel awful, but there's always tomorrow.
Yeah, and I learned today that in 300 years, we'll all be one race.
Yeah, I'm not really sure where Jerry was going with that, but it was entertaining.
I liked it.
And I do think in the past, with John and Meter, I think that would have been either ignored or they would have said, let's move on from it. Whereas I said, well, wait a minute, let's dive into this and challenge him and say this is fucking stupid and explain yourself, and that's what we do.
When John Dennis came back over the winter, you guys did a crossover.
Yeah.
And it was very civil. Well, I think that disappointed me, at least,
sure,
just as a listener. But.
Sure, but I think, so here's how I looked at it, right? I looked at it as, like, I won the war. Like,
right.
What am I supposed to do? He's coming back to fill in over the holidays. I just finished number one again. I'm about to be off for a week. What am I going to yell at him? About what? Like, badger this older guy over what? He's coming back. He's filling in on my show. We've had it out. And honestly, John and I actually get along pretty well now. We text every once in a while. I get a kick out of him now. My anger toward John was not so much at John Dennis the person, as John Dennis the radio personality, who was generationally different from me, was really successful a long time doing the show his way. I didn't want to do it that way. And I wanted to move on. And once I was able to do that, there was no anger on my end.
So there was no urge to, and I guess this would be better if you had him in for the 2 hours he's supposed to come in for last week. But you guys still do make fun of him, whether you're angry at him or not.
Yeah.
So would you want to do that with him in
studio? Sure, absolutely, yeah. But he didn't want to do it. I guess he didn't want to do it last week. I don't know why he didn't
want
to.
Why was he ever involved if he ended up bailing? Like, how did that happen?
I don't know. So Jerry was out for a week, and we were trying to have a bunch of different people on. Nobody wants to come on with us anymore.
Right. Well, so, one guy does. I'll do it.
That's true. Other than you. You and salespeople. So we said, I guess Joey set it up, and he was going to come in for a couple hours, and then said at the last second he couldn't do it. I just don't think he wanted to deal with the heat of 2 hours of it, which, whatever. I understand. I guess it's not easy. I guess it fucks with people's lives. This is what they all say. So at some point, I have to acknowledge there's some truth in it. But you do a show, you yell, you scream, you laugh, you get mad, you get over it, you go home, you come back the next day, you do it. It's not not complicated. It's not.
People get very worried about social media. They're like, well, I have to read bad tweets all day about how I suck. It's like, well, what? Just don't go on Twitter.
Or laugh at them. Or don't look at them.
Right,
or
right.
Mute people. It's not that difficult. People tweet that they want you to fucking die, or they hate your kids, or fuck you. Or like, okay, great.
Right.
No. Good. Okay.
I was called a retard not 8 hours ago on Twitter. So.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, you just laugh. I don't know. I just laugh at it. I would say a couple of years ago, I never got mad at it, but a couple of years ago, I would say I thought about it more than I do now. Now I just, Twitter to me, I have to admit, I'm starting to get bored with Twitter at this point. I feel like Twitter is this endless cycle. Like, okay.
Yeah. Where does it go?
Everybody has to weigh in. We got it. Here's a story. Here's the next. Same thing as we said earlier with Roseanne and Samantha Bee. Okay. Who are we moving to next? Who are we trying to take down next? What's the big story next? Now it could be great. It could be a great tool, but sometimes you're just like, all right, I'm fucking worn out by it, you know?
Speaking of checking the tweets and the text lines, what would you like to see happen with the afternoon show, ideally? Does it stay Dale and Keefe? Do they
I'd like to see a third person in there who makes them uncomfortable. That's all. Who makes them uncomfortable.
Yeah. Would you rather that, or, because you've alluded to this a couple times, rather they flip-flop with OMF?
No, I don't really care about that. Because then you just, whatever. But I would rather see them bring in a third guy who has an attitude and challenges them and makes them uncomfortable. Dale's at his best when he's uncomfortable. And Rich, for all my criticism of Rich, I think he's tried to do some of that more lately, it seems. But it seems to me that Rich has been too comfortable letting Dale make that show entirely Dale's show. Like, that show feels like the Dale Arnold show now. That, to me, doesn't work.
Right.
You know, so I would if I was Rich, you're not going to listen to me. But at some point with John and Jerry, I kind of said, fuck this. I'm going to make this as much as I can my show. And for a third person coming in like that, I think I did a pretty good job. And Rich now it's Rich's show. Like, there's two people. It's not three people.
Right.
Michael and
his
Dale.
His name's on it.
Michael's gone, right. Rich is now, should be co-owner of that show, and it doesn't feel like that. It feels like he's renting from Dale, who owns the show.
Do you think there's ever an opportunity for, because I think a guy that would fit in is Alex Reamer. Is there ever a chance of that happening?
I hope so. Yeah. I think Reamer has served his time. I mean, this has now been 5 months,
yeah,
6 months almost, since he called Brady's kid the pissant, which was stupid.
Yeah.
I feel like the punishment is, you know, is now exceeded the crime.
Yeah.
Far exceeded the crime.
Absolutely.
I had Alex on the podcast a few weeks ago. I would love to have Alex back on the show. No problem. I'd love to have Gary back on the show. Tomasi's welcome back on the show. But yes, I think Alex should be. Have you had Alex on here yet?
No.
Oh, he would do it. He'd do it
would
for
he?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
See, for a while I wasn't sure because the first episode I did was I was going to talk about it was the day the Reamer thing happened,
right.
And I got a panicked call from Rob Bradford. Please don't talk about it.
Well, don't listen to people like that. I mean, that's how I got successful.
Well, it was my first ever episode, so they just would, and they were editing it at the time.
Okay,
now
we
edit it,
okay.
But they just wouldn't have put it up if
yeah.
I did it.
Well, so. Yeah, Alex will definitely do it now, no question. But yeah, I think it is time. I think it's time for Alex to be back at the station.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And you know, fucking Reamer. We're the same age. He's technically a guy standing in my way, but I'm
true.
Still saying he should absolutely be on the air. He's a talented kid.
Yep, he's a polarizing figure. There's not a lot of him.
I mean,
how many polarizing figures do you say there are on the radio in this market now?
You, Jerry.
Yeah.
Felger to a much different extent.
Yeah, no, I think people, I guess that's true, but I don't really
in,
see
in,
it,
in just the sports world, it would be Felger.
Yeah, not a lot.
And that's pretty much
that's
it, I guess.
That's what I mean. Yeah, not a lot, right. So, yeah. I mean, he could be one.
Is there the casting couch?
Yeah.
Do you think it really matters that only Mutt is there, essentially?
You know, we've done this. We've gone over this. We get daily ratings. We look at them, and there's no proof that any casting coach member is ever factored into the ratings.
Does it matter to you, though? Would you rather do it with the rotating guys?
Sometimes. I think Jerry and I don't think, did enough shows by ourselves at the beginning. Because I think it's actually, like, today's show, I think, was really good. Our shows lately, the two of us, have been better than a year ago, the two of us. But yeah, I would like, you know, two or three times a week to bring somebody in. I mean, it's kind of good for us, and it kind of loosens us up. It gives us somebody to play off of, gives somebody to make fun of. So yeah, I think if we could have Mutt and one more, maybe have that person on once or twice a week, Mutt on, and then Jerry and I think would be fine. I only need five people. Two or three, I think, would be good.
All right, I know you got to get out of here.
No, that's fine. A few minutes. You're good.
Okay, cool. I wanted to ask, is there any chance? Am I an absolute no?
How many times are you going to like allude
hint at
to
this?
This? Yes.
Till I just
well,
ask?
I'm
asking now.
Here's what
I'm
going to do it from a Jerry Callahan perspective, okay? Like, who is he?
Right.
Like, why?
Right.
You know?
But who was Alex Reamer when you had him on? Who
true.
Was Lucy Burge when you had her on?
Well, I don't
know.
Yeah,
I understand, right. but you had her on.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So who are these guys?
Well, she worked for the show, too, though.
I work for the company.
I guess.
I do a podcast on the website.
I'd say make,
I realize
here's
it's
what I'd say to you,
but,
man. Make some news. Make some news.
Yeah.
You know, make some news. Cause some trouble. You cause some trouble, you'll get in there.
Now, I will say this. I have about 10 times the Twitter followers that Patrick Gilroy has.
Yeah.
So when I'm lumped in, last week I hear Mutt suggest me and Gilroy, and Curtis goes, no and no. So if I'm in the same category as Patrick
you're in
Gilroy,
trouble?
I'll lose my fucking mind.
Well, like I said, do something. Gilroy, at least Gilroy did that dumb thing with his dog, and Gilroy came in during the snow. I'm like you, he came in during the blizzard. You didn't have the guts to drive in the blizzard, right?
Yeah.
So you had the guts to do it.
First of all, that was the worst day of my fucking life.
And if you're blind that day and you drive, no one else on the road.
I was in Connecticut.
You could drive.
Now, that's a good idea.
Right, that's
but
what
I was saying. I was fucking begging people. And then the worst thing was, I hear you. I had time. I had to be at work at like 7 in the morning, so I heard the first half hour of the show at least.
Right.
And I heard you say, you know, if we offered it to you and you didn't make it, that's it.
Yeah,
it's not happening again. And Callahan says, does anyone have any ambition? And I'm fucking sobbing, looking out the 25th floor window of my hotel thinking about jumping.
Listen. I mean, you know, I would the old Kirk Minion would have driven through that storm. Absolutely.
I don't have a license, goddammit.
You're going to want it. How blind are you?
I am.
Is there a percentage? Or
it's
what is
gotten
it?
A lot worse.
Are you going to be totally blind at some point?
So they told me it wouldn't get any worse from when I was in high school.
Okay.
And that has been untrue.
So how blind are you? So
people ask me that, and I don't know how to describe it.
I don't know. What's the? So I'm 100% not blind. And Helen Keller was 100% blind.
Right.
Are you closer to her or me?
I would say I think closer to you because I've only seen how I see, and I can see you, and I can get around without a fucking cane or a dog. And
right.
I walked. I live 2 miles away. I walked here.
Okay.
So I would say I'm closer to you, but I used to say like I could get away with driving a car, but I just legally I can't get a license. Now it's not.
No
I'd
chance.
Fucking kill people. It would be no zero chance.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So what are you doing for a living?
I work here. I do part-time shit here, and then I do a little other part-time shit, and that's about it.
And that's it?
I make enough to fucking scrape by, and
your
I'm
goal
trying
to... What is your goal long-term at the station?
I mean, unrealistically doing what you do.
Okay, but I'm saying, like, you know, there's an in-between. Like,
right.
What's your next stop going
to be? My next... I've messaged Zarbano and Curtis about this and gotten zero response. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's a fucking pipe dream, but I like to do nights, weekends, whatever I can get on the air doing. And
you've been rejected so far? Ignored?
Ignored.
No response at all?
No. Well, the closest thing I got to a response was I asked Ken about it, and he said, I have nothing to do with that. Ask Curtis. So I asked Curtis, and I got nothing.
That's not a good sign.
And then
you're young. You got time. You got time. You got time.
Let me ask you this, though. Mm-hmm. Am I completely, have people listened to me and said I'm completely untalented, or is it just that no one would know who I am?
I gotta be honest. The name has never come up.
Okay.
Yeah, see, that's good, I think.
Well, that was what I wanted, because when Ken texted me, I was like, about doing the morning show.
Right.
I was like, well, at least my name came up in some sense.
Oh, that's true. That's true. But it's never come up in the sense of, like, you know, he sucks.
Having me on regular. Okay.
Right. There's no, there's been no thought yet.
Like, that makes me feel
like Jerry knows who you are, I don't think.
Okay.
So that's good.
I wouldn't expect him to.
Which is a good thing, I'm saying.
But
right.
So the thought that's always been in my mind when I hear Curtis say, like, absolutely not, is that there's been some sort of discussion where Mutt or Ken or someone
you're giving
knows
yourself
me
too much importance,
out.
Mike.
Say it again.
I think you're giving yourself too much importance. You're assigning yourself too much. Jerry doesn't know. We don't know who you are.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, you're,
but you do know who I am. You say hi, Mike, when you see me in the hallway.
No,
you know what I mean?
But that's different. You know,
I understand.
Yes, I think you're only bringing me on here ultimately to ask me this question.
Oh, 100%.
Yes, that's fine.
I set it up with a half hour.
I respect
fucking
ambition.
Softball.
Yeah, I respect ambition.
And then wanted to beg you to come on the show.
I got no problem with that. And as I always say, it is a for guys your age, man. There's not a lot out there. So if you're going to be an asshole and cause trouble, you're going to make a living. That's it. And if you're talented, so I think you have a chance.
Well, now what would you grade me based on this interview? Do you think I've got some chops or no?
It's tough. I mean, I think you're a fan of mine.
Sure. Yeah.
Which I think makes it difficult, right? So I sense a fear of challenging me. Which
no, not at all.
Which
I think
totally
I kind of challenge
to.
You with the Roseanne and Samantha Bee shit.
Yeah, I would call it a mild challenge, though.
Well, because I agree with you in a sense.
Right.
That what are you going to do if advertisers? That's why I defended.
I mean, that's the real world. I mean, I hate to say it. I would love. Fuck, I don't want anybody to fire for what they say.
That's why I defended the company on the Reamer thing, because usually I say, you know, just fucking defend
you
your talent. Defend.
You had to do it.
I didn't get to it. It was a deleted episode.
Oh,
but the way I did it to thin air was that usually I say defend your talent. If you believe in them, let them kind of say what they want. But with the Brady thing, that's a business deal.
Right. That's
where you offended one person.
That's a huge.
Where if he leaves,
massive
it's a different
investment
thing.
For the. I mean, you're talking seven figure.
Right.
Stuff with the company. I mean, you can't. And Reamer, as good as he is right now, is worth $0 to the company.
Sure.
So that's just. I mean, that's. I mean, when you.
But Roseanne is not. Roseanne is worth a lot more, and that's why.
Well,
I think
companies
like that should defend their talent.
But is Roseanne post tweet? Is she worth that much? No, she's not.
But that's the thing. These
I'm
things
you, Mike,
die,
today,
and I don't know.
Not like that. So Roseanne was. When it's the biggest story in the country. What day was?
Early last week, Tuesday.
Was it
maybe?
Tuesday?
Yeah,
by Thursday, you would have had 30 companies that weren't suspending them, leaving.
But wouldn't other companies have substituted? Maybe
like
not
who?
The exact same money.
No, but that's what the matter. But the other thing is, like I said, like Reamer's for all is not actually insane. Roseanne's actually insane.
Right.
She believes the marathon, like I said, was done by actors. So when you get, and we dealt with those people after the bomb, we took calls from those people. They're fucking nuts. Like they're just crazy.
Sure.
And now that's Tom Werner's fault and ABC's fault for getting back into bed with somebody who's crazy.
Well, that's my problem with it is you do a show with her for 10 years,
yeah, you take
20
the profits
years ago,
and
then you bring her back.
Right.
She was that person the whole time.
Absolutely.
The racist tweet was
of course.
Different.
And a month ago,
if you're going to blame the conspiracy stuff, I think that's crazy because she's always been there.
I'm blaming the conspiracy stuff. I'm just saying you're dealing with a crazy person. That's all.
Sure.
But I would say that, you know, 20 years ago, we were reading about how crazy Roseanne was. And a month ago at the upfronts of the ABC, they were joking about how crazy her Twitter was, the ABC people. So it was all a big joke. Until they got her in trouble, and then everybody, you know, shits their pants and covers their ass.
Well, there's also a thing of now if you tweet defending Trump, people say you're crazy.
Of course.
Now Kanye West, before the slavery thing, that was obviously
right.
crazy. But before that, all he really said was, I think Trump's doing a good job.
Yes.
And people called him an insane man.
And by the way, I think Trump's doing a good job. I didn't vote for him. I think he's doing a good job as president of the United States. I think he's insane. I think his tweets are fucking totally nuts. But as a president, so far, he's done a good job. And Americans don't want that. Some don't want that to be true. They don't want the president to do a good job, which is, you know,
yeah,
it's a world we live in.
And the real reason I can't totally go in on you on the Roseanne thing is that it is Disney. If it was a different company, I'd say,
right,
okay, but it's fucking Disney. They're not going to defend anything.
All right, what else you got? Any other radio gossip? What do you got? A few more questions. I'll get out of here. I'll leave you alone. What else?
All right, let's see.
Anything else?
No,
I saw you those notes right by your face before.
Me?
Yeah.
No, the notes are all up here.
Oh, okay.
They do me no good.
Okay.
Tangway. I wanted to ask you about Tangway.
What about him?
Is there, first of all, what is he a... Does he have any ambition? Is that all a
he has
bit,
no ambition.
Or
he
just
no
doesn't
ambition.
Care anymore?
No, clearly he has no ambition.
Yeah.
But he's a friend of mine.
But it seems like when he's gone from the show for a while, he misses it.
He misses it. He definitely misses it.
So does that...
You know what's funny is...
He misses the attention anyways.
Yeah, I think that's more... I mean, you know, he's on that show now nobody watches, and it gets no buzz. You know, nobody ever tweets about it or talks about it. He knows that. I'm not sure he even really cares. But it's funny. Like, I think if you... I did ask Trenny. Trenny left, I think, mostly because of me. The Tomasi thing is mostly because of me. When Alex left the first time, love, it was because of me. The Tangway thing is Tangway likes doing the shows with me. He doesn't like working with Jerry that much.
Why is that?
He just feels like Jerry's angry and adds tension to the room. He likes when he and I do shows together and goof around and dick around and all that stuff.
But Callahan does that with him too, to an extent.
To
right?
an extent, to an extent. But Jerry, I agree. I don't get it either. But I, you know, do I think Gary will be back on the show at some point? I do. Yes, I do.
Do you think Trenny, to an extent, has a lack of ambition? Because
No. Trenny doesn't lack for ambition at all. No,
then why
no.
doesn't
Quite
she want to do the morning show?
She doesn't want to fight.
Just afraid of it?
I think she thinks her friends in the Boston Globe world and the liberal world think that she's part with these angry guys, and she's sick of dealing with it. That's what I think.
But if she comes in and fights you guys, wouldn't The View be...
Yeah, as opposed to going on shows and agreeing? Yes. But,
right.
But she doesn't... And she did fight, and I thought she was really good. But she doesn't lack for ambition. Absolutely not. But she didn't want to deal with it anymore. And that's, you know, I always say this. If you don't want to come on the show, I'm not going to drag you. I don't want to deal with somebody who doesn't want to be here. Why? I don't get that. You know?
Yeah. All right, Kirk. Well, you've given me some good advice today.
Really, all right, Mike.
Like I said, I only had you on to beg you to do the show. I'll call I'll call someone to piss in over the next couple
of
months.
Why don't you, you know, your best road right now.
Yeah.
I think is to badger these people and putting you on at that 10 to midnight show when
I asked for that. Well, I was doing weekly with Arcan. I was doing that every
you
week.
You are?
Yeah, Arcan was having me on once a week.
How was that going?
Good.
Yeah.
We were starting to kind of develop. I like Arcan. He's okay. So we were kind of starting to develop a little chemistry.
Yeah, he's a good
and then
guy.
And then he left because they wanted him to do 6 days a week here without offering a contract or something like that.
Right.
So he left. And that's when I messaged Zarbano, I think the second time, about... Hey, I've been on this show. Is there any chance I could get some sort of an audition? I didn't say just give me the show. I said I'll audition for it, whatever I got to do, and I just got no response.
And that's the last time you messaged him? Okay, well, I'm talking about the ambition.
I think I included him on the message with Curtis.
That was, what, 5 months ago?
Two. Well, it was after I started this podcast. So
okay, so
March.
You talk about lacking ambition. I mean, why aren't you doing it every week?
See, that's what I wonder is I worry, am I the guy
crazy
that fucking
guy?
Annoys them? Yeah, am I insane?
Well, find the right date. It's not every 3 months. I'd say 2 weeks, three weeks. Go in there, poke your head in, say, hey, you know, I'm just trying to do this. What can I do? Well, I'll do anything you want. I have this podcast. I'll fill in here. You want me to do a weekend with, I'll be the third guy in with those guys. I'll do it for an hour.
All right.
I'll do anything. You know, when I started doing this, you know, whenever, I would do any weekend shift you could find. I'd do anything, absolutely anything you can hand me.
Yeah.
You never say
Which
no.
Which is exactly what I would do, yeah.
Yeah, you never say no until you get to the point where you kind of have to say no. And then it's, you know, of course I'm saying yes to this, so what the fuck am I to say?
You'll do anything.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus. All right, Mike.
Kirk, thank you very much, man.
Anytime.
I appreciate it.
See you.
And as always, you can subscribe on iTunes and all that horseshit that I say every week. Thank you again, Kirk. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Trash Talk with Blind Mike. Hear it again on WEEI.com, iTunes, and the Radio.com app. Tune in next week for another edition of Trash Talk, a presentation of WEEI.com.